coward as he towered in the night here. Death looming over like an owl over mice. Coming for my enemies, family, tight friends. Coming for the stars and they hype men. Even if you got a nice chin, this is straight KO. In the end, everyone lays low. He never eat, never sleep. Just wait until I am safe, go. Whether it's peace or power, you pray for my...
You can have peace, you can have power. We hope you enjoy your final hour. Tell me how it goes.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, LPFM, Lexington, Kentucky. Coming to you live and hot from the north side of Lexington, Kentucky, over here on 6th Street. My name is Chuck.
I'm Ben.
And with us in the studio is a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Abraham Wienda.
Hi, Abraham.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So Abraham's going to be in here. We're going to be talking about his new album, Dreamer, that just dropped last month.
Yep.
And just the whole recording process and everything. First of all, Abraham, can you tell us where are you from?
I was born in Congo. I was raised in Kenya, and I've lived in Lexington, Kentucky for... It's going to be 4 years on Sunday, actually. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary.
Oh,
happy,
yeah. Thanks.
Lexington anniversary.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It's a sweet spot. Are you enjoying life here?
Yeah. It's been pretty good. It's been actually awesome. So far, so good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So kind of, first of all, can you kind of explain to us, what's your musical background? Kind of who influenced you to play music?
I wrote my first song when I was 7 years old. I was sitting somewhere in the house with my mom, and we did not have lights. So we were bored, and I was like, okay, let's write a song. So I started freestyling, and I told her to grab a pen and a paper, and she started writing down every word that I was saying. And she was like, no, this is not your song. I think you got this from somewhere. I was like, I think I just made that up. So
nice.
That was the beginning of it all. But after that, I didn't write another song until, I don't know, maybe when I was 13 or something. So when I was 14, we were so broke. My mom.
How broke were you?
We were really broke, so broke, man, so broke. We were so hungry that you wanna throw up, but you only throw up saliva because you don't have any food in your stomach.
Yeah.
So my mom got this money to pay rent, and she was like, "I think you should take this money and record a song. Record that song that you sang for me the other day." And she has been my inspiration this far. So that song obviously didn't go anywhere, but because you all never heard of it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe it'll come out on the B-sides.
Maybe.
The Dreamer B-sides.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a plan right there.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Walk your journey to the United States. Walk through that for us. Because, I don't know, refugees have been in the news a little lately. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know if you've heard about that.
I've heard about that.
And there are a lot of misconceptions about all that stuff. So,
yes. Yeah,
if you would kind of take it. What was step one? When did you make the decision to say, oh, we gotta go?
We gotta go?
Yeah.
You do not make that decision, man. It's made for you. So my family and I lived in Kenya for a very, very long time under the refugee status, which means, for those that don't know what a refugee is, it's somebody that flees their home country because of fear of persecution, because of race, religion, ideologies, political or social ideologies or tribes. And there's kind of different kinds of war, the civil wars and this political wars. So we were... So we fled to Kenya and lived there for over 10 years. Most refugees live in camps, but we were lucky. We didn't live in camps. We lived in the urban areas just because my dad was a preacher and he just preached, and somehow we survived. I think my parents are just really cool.
Did religion give your parents a little bit of cover?
In Nairobi, in Kenya?
Yeah.
I could say it did, in a way, because, or maybe it's not necessarily religion, but we were very welcomed by the church.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really helped us through the process of just the whole refugee life status, which is crazy.
And so how long were you in Kenya for? How many years?
It's roughly, I just want to say more than 10 years. It was long, long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went to school in Kenya my whole, like every single school. So basically you do not apply to come to America or any other country.
Right. That's one of the biggest misconceptions is that people think somebody says, I want to go to America, and that's where they get to go.
Yeah.
So you could have ended up
in any different
Denmark or Australia or anywhere, just
or
as likely.
Anywhere. Yeah.
And anywhere in the United States, really, for that matter.
So let me rephrase that. I mean, you can apply, but you don't choose where you go.
Right.
So once you get to a country of refuge, you have to register with the UNHCR, which is the United Nations High Commission for Refugees.
Oh, wow.
So that's what we registered for. And they put you on the list of people who could be resettled if there's a possibility. And by the way, this possibility is less than
1%. Oh, my.
So that means that all the refugees being resettled all over the world, that's still less than 1%. However, the numbers seem big when they say 1,000 people, 40,000 people. It's still
but
less
that's
than
1%. Out of what? Or what are we talking about? Millions?
We're talking about crazy, because if it's 40,000 people and it's only 1%, that means there's 40-something million or billion. Math, man. Anyway, so yeah. So and in 2000, and so we had waited all these years, and I honestly just think by God's grace, our names were selected. It was among the less than 1%. And I personally thought we were going to go to Australia. I don't know why. I just thought that because most of the people were going there. So,
oh, okay.
And Denmark. And so I remember seeing seeing our names, and they say, you guys are going to America. And I was like, I have never heard of anybody going to America. So we ended up in Lexington.
We're glad you did, Abraham.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm here, too.
Had you heard of Lexington? Did you know where Kentucky was? Had you heard the name Kentucky? Had you heard of the basketball team?
Never.
Had you heard of the horse industry?
Never even heard of... I heard of Abraham Lincoln. I didn't even know he was from here.
Okay. Yeah.
When people think about America let me just say Kenya and Congo, they think about New York and Chicago and Miami, and that's the only places I knew, and California, that's it.
Can I ask you, Abraham, you were in Kenya, you were in Nairobi, right?
Yeah.
What kind of music, what's the music scene like there?
The music scene in Nairobi is huge. It's big. It's really, really big. People basically buy houses and buy cars. Buying a car in Africa is a big deal. It's not like everybody drives. You know, if you actually drive in Africa, you are a boss.
Yeah.
You know, so all my friends in Nairobi, by the way, just know I got a car outside parked. So, but I'm not necessarily a boss here. But so, yeah, the industry is really big. People are making a living out of music.
Is it more, is it live performing or is it recording and selling pre-recorded?
Both. It just depends with the place. I think that performing pays more in Africa, and artists are really living large out of it. I'm talking crazy. Like these people get paid a lot.
And who are some Kenyan artists that we wouldn't know otherwise? Like I know you played Asa on the Bluegrass Refugee Voices show. I've been checking her out. She's awesome.
She's awesome. Asa is Nigerian actually, and she's huge. You know. In Nairobi, we have Sauti Sol. You probably never heard of Sauti Sol.
I haven't.
But Obama has, because he was dancing to their song on social media.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so the Sauti Sol, they're one of the biggest boy bands in Africa right now, and they're really amazing. So if somebody gets paid, let me quote, $3 million, or $1 million in Africa to perform, that is like getting paid the same $3 million here.
Wow.
Equivalent to how you, like, worth, that's the worth of that.
The money. Spending power, the buying power.
Mm-hmm. So that is how much people get paid in Africa for music. So it's not like the misconceptions that we have, the people are just, there's that side too, but you know, music does pay. It is hard to break through in the industry, I'd say that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard.
Do you have the same kind of resources here? I can't imagine there are a lot of laptops with GarageBand or Audacity on them where people, because now in the United States, you can just plug your guitar into your phone and record something and hopefully put it out there.
I think the difference between that is here, most people have it in their apartments like I do. Sorry, I do in mine. Mm-hmm. So in Nairobi, they have studios. Like, you have to go to a proper studio to do your music and do the recording. The one of the other differences that I've seen here with the music industry there is the producer. If you call yourself a producer, you're able to play every instrument, mix, record, master, and do everything, and compose a beat. But here, one person does the mixing, the other person does the mastering. The other. So in Africa, we don't do that. You know everything. So... So I think just having that knowledge kind of helped me here, because I could do some of this stuff myself and just be like, oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, I went to a studio and they were like, no, we can't make beats. We can only mix. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Give me 5 minutes, hop in the car, run down.
So, I'll go make a beat up, bye-bye.
So Abraham, can I ask you, so when you came to Kentucky, what did you think of music here that you started here? I know we have rich bluegrass, but we're so much more than that. Kind of what was your initial impact?
Hey, this is America, man. Yeah. It's America. No matter what anybody says, this is the biggest market for music in the world. So I came to Lexington with that mindset of this is America. You know, you are in the harbor. Everybody's trying to move this way as far as music. Everybody's trying to get their music to America. If your song plays in an American radio, you are huge.
Well,
you know?
Abraham, your song's played many times. So you made it.
Well, I guess, I made it. Mama, I made it. Anyway, so that's the idea that I had. And I was working somewhere, and a friend told me, I'll take you for an open mic. So I had no idea what an open mic was. Mm-hmm. So I went to call Common Grounds.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the first place I ever played. I didn't know how to play a guitar, so...
There may actually be people listening who don't know what an open mic is. That's where, you know, anybody can sign up and say, oh, you're going to go on at 10:20, you're going to go on at 10:30, and stuff like that.
Open performance.
And how was that for performing for a Lexington audience at a coffee shop?
It was weird. It was weird for so many people because they had no idea what I was trying to say. my accent was way worse than now, and unfortunately, I'm losing my accent. I need to, like, maintain it, you know, to my power. No,
we need dual. Right? One you can just drift.
Anyway, it was good, but once I played there so many times, I quickly realized how much talent Lexington had. Mm-hmm. But then I just realized that so many people were. I say this now with a bad. Just I felt like many people were stuck. Stuck with.
In a particular genre?
Yeah. No, not in a particular place. They're stuck in the open mic environment.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They are good. I had conversations with so many people. They're really, really good. Like, some of them, like, I have friends that they sing 10 times or a million times better than I do, but they were just stuck in that. I felt like they were stuck in that open mic.
Right.
Didn't know how to turn their music into something. They were just performing, and that's it. It was just dead.
Right. And now. They wanted to, but I feel like they were just not. And that I stayed here for long, and I just realized there's so many people that the music industry in Lexington. So many people are really stuck in that. If I want to do an album, I gotta do a bunch of demos first. I just have to record demos. Yeah. I'm not gonna spend $100 to get my song mixed well. Where am I gonna take the song anyway? Like, in that, they're just stuck in that. So many people. On the other hand, there's some people who are really trying and just putting themselves out there, like Will Solomon. Will Solomon is the man. I don't know if you guys know Will Solomon. You know, there's just like a divine karma. You know, they're going hard. They're like, I'm going to shoot a quality video. I don't care if I'm from Lexington or anybody knows me or not. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to put quality in what I have, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, and you have the ability now to do that with just with free software that you get for your computer. And now there's YouTube.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people, that's where the kids are getting their music these days.
And I think Lexington has a long history of folks who are incredibly successful internationally.
Yeah.
You know, we've got kind of linguists, T.D. Young. We've got folks who leave Lexington and go to sell out music festivals in Europe and all over the world, and then they'll come back here and play a show to 100, 200 people.
Yeah, you know? Which is
and so it's kind of it's a treat for us, but also it's a funny thing. You're right. Sometimes you just to get that momentum locally. Sometimes people do just get stuck.
I think we have the talent here. I think we have more than the talent here. We have everything it takes. We have you guys. We got the presenters. We got we got people that can do quality videos here. We have got people that can actually produce real good music.
Yeah.
We just need, I don't know, we just need the mindset now to actually do it in the real way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it in the best way possible. I'm not just going to do, like, a demo. Let's try to do a demo show or a demo. Mm-hmm. Try out. See, like, yeah. I don't know.
So, Abraham, can I ask you, so at what point did you decide to go from that open mic circuit, and you thought, I'm going to make an album? I'm gonna put this all together, write some songs.
It took me a while, actually. I always wanted to do an album, but I kept postponing it because I got into the same mindset. I honestly don't know how, but I got into the same mindset of open mics. I was like, I got to do a few open mics, get my name out there. So, and I think it's a good thing. I don't think anyone that does that is doing it wrongly. But I kept giving myself excuses about, I don't have the money. It's so expensive to do songs. And then I'd go places like the other studio. They're like, I don't make beats. And I'm like, where am I going to find beats? I can make beats, but I was giving myself excuses. Like, I don't have the software. It's $76 to buy the thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
And until I actually decided to, let me go buy this thing. That's the day I realized it was $76. But I was stuck in this mindset that I couldn't even realize that I can actually afford that. It's just $76. Just buy it and make beats.
Yeah.
You know? So, but...
What do you use? What kind of software do you use for kids out there who might be thinking about...
Fruity Loops and Logic and GarageBand. And I have also people that help me out to make beats. My boy Hekima. And I import beats from Nairobi because they're cheaper. some of the beats in my album, they're actually from... back home. So
cool.
Long story short, this year, last year, around February, which is a year ago from now, I was driving with my mom and we almost had a car crash. And right then I was like, I'm about to die and my music is not out there. What if I die today? It just hit me that this was really, really important to me. So I just snapped out of it. Didn't have money or anything. I was like, what am I going to do? If I record at a professional studio, I'm going to pay $300 for every song that I put out. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. So I figured out, why don't I save $1,000 and buy the equipment and do it myself and pay somebody like $50 to do the mixing and mastering.
Yeah.
So that's how I did it. So I didn't have the money. So a friend gave me a loan of $1,000, and I went and bought the equipment that I have right now, put it in my apartment, and that I recorded all this album, the whole entire album, in my living room. my boy, Carson Childers, I don't know if you guys know him, he did the mixing and the mastering for some of the songs, and I would record some of the vocals and send the vocals to Nairobi to another producer to do the mixing and mastering, because I didn't want to do it, because I don't know how to do it.
Cool. So this album is directly a Kentucky-Kenyan collaboration?
Yes. Oh, it's nice. It's definitely been like that. I have a song on there that a friend of mine recorded. It's the first song that I ever recorded. Cole Eveland did it in his apartment. And I also work with Jason Groves of Snake Attack on one song. So
what is... So the album's called Dreamer.
It's called Dreamer.
So why did you decide on that name?
Various reasons. When I moved here, I had stopped doing music. And then Carissa Porter invited me to sing at a show. But I didn't have any songs to sing. And then I tried to write a song, but I had writer's block. I was like, well, I guess I wasn't really as good at this as I used to think I was, because I can't come up with a song. So Dreamer was the first song that I ever wrote. And it was a song that I attempted to write some English in, like some legit English, not tap or patois or Creole tap or English, because that's what I used to write. Yeah. But so it was the first song that I recorded after that, coming out of that writer's block. Mm-hmm. And it was the first English song that it had some English in the chorus. So that was the beginning of this whole journey. That's why I called it Dreamer. It's also called Dreamer because if you listen carefully to the album, there's the word dream in the 21 songs, all of them. So it's dreams about different things, from dreams that I have for myself, simple dreams like getting some kids someday, to simple to dreams of actually people coming together and living in harmony, just various types of dreams of making my family proud, dreams. It's just every kind of dream that I have for myself and for people around me. So that's awesome. Why I call Dreamer.
Well, let's listen to Dreamer, if that's okay.
Yep.
So maybe we'll do that, and then we'll come back. And just in case you're joining us, we're here on Bluegrass Bios here on WLXU 93.9 FM. We're in here with Abraham Mwenda discussing his new album Dreamer. So we're about to hear it, and we'll be right back here in a little bit.
And just like the birds need the air to fly free, oh, you and I need each other. So let us put aside all religion and color, because we are one people. Yeah. And yes, we are all equal. Revolution, oh, oh, oh. It starts with you and me. Yes, it starts with you and me. So let us put aside all religion and color, because we are one people. Oh yes, we are all equal, 'cause we are one people, yeah. And we
at Doodles Breakfast and Lunch, we bring locally raised and grown products directly from Kentucky farms to your plate. We do this not only because it tastes better, supports the community, and provides jobs. We do it because it's just the right thing to do. Like supporting this radio station, Doodles is proud to support WLXU and Lexington Community Radio by bringing you local talent and content that matters. WLXU does for your brain what we do for your belly. Doodles is open Tuesday through Sunday, 8 to 2, and is located at the corner of Limestone and 3rd. Our small batch, made with love, biscuits, and gravy, is on the special board and runs out quickly. So you can come early and mention this ad for a surprise. Doodles, it's comfort food with a conscience. And we're a Kentucky proud restaurant. Lexington Community Radio thanks Doodles for supporting true community radio.
Let us stay.
This is Lydia Jacobs, host of Aging Adventures. We keep everyone up to date on what's going on in the senior community in Lexington. Conferences available, how to stay healthy. We talk to a wide range of people, professionals, individuals who are paving their own way in the aging world. Aging Adventures with host Lydia Jacobs on Fridays, 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock on 93.9 WLXU, a Lexington community radio.
But in passing, we'll grow older every day.
And we're back. Here, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios on 93.9 WLXU LPFM here in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. And we're here in the studio with Abraham Mwenda, who traveled a long way to come join us today.
Just for this show.
Yeah, just for the show, because we caught him up at 6 in the morning, and we were like, hey, you should come.
How fast can you get across the ocean?
I made sure I traveled before the travel ban.
Yeah. You got in. That's great.
Yeah, what do you think of all that? What are we going to have to... We're going to have to consolidate here. We're going to have to organize, aren't we?
Yeah, as a refugee, Abraham, what do you think about the kind of the legislation?
First of all, let me speak for the refugees first. I can't even imagine how many people... There's people that were on the list to travel to maybe specifically to America right now. When you know that you're going to travel tomorrow, these people sell everything they have. Mm-hmm. That's number one. They quit their jobs if they had jobs. They tell all their friends that they're goodbyes. So imagine this person is being told that they cannot travel for the next maybe 120 days or more. Mm. So basically these people, if they were renting apartments, they don't really have anywhere to go back to.
Wow.
They don't have a job to go back to. They don't have money. They don't have anything. People sell it. They don't... When you go to the airport, when we went to the airport, we didn't even have... We had suitcases and luggages, but there were a lot of people that didn't have luggage. They just come like that. Come as you are, you know? Mm-hmm. So these people with families, they are going to start their whole lives over again. And do you know how hard that is? Like, if living as a refugee is... It's not the simple life that we paint and romanticize in movies. It's not like that. It's really tough and it's hard. There's a lot of challenges that come with that. So that's number one. So I feel my heart goes out to those people a lot. And I feel like that's one aspect that was left out of the thought process. Or maybe it was not. I don't know. But did this...
I think a lot of stuff was left out of the thought process.
Yeah.
You know, so did we think about these people in that aspect?
We didn't.
We are just leaving them out there to just... exist like that. They don't have anywhere to go now. If they had places to live, they don't have that place anymore. And as far as Muslims are concerned, I just want to speak with my... I understand, truly understand where the paranoia and some of the ideas are coming from with all the terrorists and all that. But I think that it's proof and evident throughout last year and everything that happened last year in this country with all the shootings and stuff, that we should have learned better and stopped boxing people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. Once you box a category of people, Muslims are all terrorists, or Christians are all this, and then we are not really solving a problem. So I think, I have Muslim friends, you know? Mm-hmm. I went to school with Muslims. We had all these conversations about... terrorism in the world, and I can tell you, every single person that I went to school with that was a Muslim, the school that I went to was half Muslim, half Christian. Like, mm-hmm. It was like that. There was a mosque somewhere, and there was a church in the school. They did not support terrorism. They did not support any of these things that happened with and blamed on Islam, you know? Mm. They didn't support all that stuff. They were some of the kindest people I've ever met. Someone, Ahmed bought me breakfast one day in school. I was broke in high school, man. That's just the reality. Let me just throw it out there, just in case I've ever bought you lunch now. But
yeah.
Let's just stop boxing people.
I agree.
And actually deal with the problem. I feel like so many times when we box situations, we're trying to run away from the real problem,
mm-hmm.
or having to face the real problem, you know, and we got to go back to the core of the problem. And I don't think that comes with boxing people.
We think the core of the problem is maybe poverty and drought and famine.
Yeah.
That's part of it. That's part of it.
And depression.
I feel like insecurity is the biggest part of the problem, you know? It's easy to villainize a big group of people. But it's difficult to look at the subtleties and really understand, you know, like, I think it's absurd that people call themselves Christian, but then villainize Islam, even though the second most quoted prophet in the Quran is Christ himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just silly that there's so many similarities.
I don't think they know that.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what it is. I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I think at a nation of immigrants, You know, whether you're the 2% of Native Americans that are here, if you're not, everyone else is an immigrant. Everyone else is from another place.
Yeah, and stuff like this isn't going to stand. It may take a couple years. It may take many years. It's going to go back. We're gonna change it back to what it was.
I am in full. I watched a video last night of Obama was talking about. I don't know when the video was shot, but he was talking about we should not allow unlawful entering of our borders, you know, and all that. And I support that, but I just don't think it's good box people. And one of the things I always think about is we should try to put ourselves in the shoes of some people, like walk in the shoes of refugees. I'll just speak for refugees because that's what I know more, you know, What can happen in any country? You don't wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I think war is going to happen here," and it happens. Or war will never happen here, and it doesn't happen. It can happen anywhere, anytime, from nowhere. What if it happens here? And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I wish it never happens here. I pray for this place. You know, where are we going to run to? Are we going to blame people if they block the borders for us? Since we've blocked borders for refugees from all over the world, are we going to say the world is bad and turning their back on us? You know.
Are we putting, after we turned our back on them?
You know, yeah, like all of us are prone to seeing, we're prone to this refuge life. We're prone to being refugees, and we're prone to war and disease and famine and all these things that happen all over the world. We've just been, I realized that when I moved to America, I realized that places have different graces, you know? There's a different grace for every place. In America, we talk about how Africa, there's a lot of poverty. But you do realize that some people eat from the trash. But you do realize that these people don't fall sick from eating from the trash. They walk strong. They're happy. Do you know why? God has given them that grace to actually persevere and endure that. Their bodies have been built for that environment. But if you are an American, you come there, you eat trash, you're going to die. You know, the same. America also has its own grace. They're not more blessed than the rest of the country, of the world. At the same time, the rest of the world is not more blessed than this place. You know, there's just different grace for every place that you go. It's a different type of grace.
It's true.
And that's just my perspective. Anyone can correct me, you know.
Well, empathy.
Yeah, compassion and love, I think, is priority. And I think if you're drowning in success and you're easily getting anything you want, it's hard to really appreciate.
But we're a little soft.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little soft right now.
Yeah. But anyway, well, let's get back to your album,
yes.
Abraham. So, and kind of to tie this discussion into with Dreamer, you know.
Yes.
You know, what were you trying to do? Did you write these songs first and then decide to do an album in the process? Or did you first conceptualize kind of the whole album and then come through?
I was just, I write songs because of things that happen every day in my life, things that I see, and songs just come to me and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to write this song. I didn't really have an album in mind when I was writing most of these songs. I had an album in mind when I was picking the songs to put in the album, but the songs were written already. Some of the songs, I wrote them along the way as I was recording the album. I might actually write another song. Like One in a Million came way later. It's probably the last song I wrote.
So while you were writing each individual song and putting them together, did you kind of discover something that kind of some theme that ran in between all the songs, or some connection that was there that you didn't realize was there while you were writing the songs individually?
I realized it when I was picking this. I had recorded more songs than 21, so I was picking out which songs to take out and which songs to leave, and I was realizing, wow, that's actually the first time I realized that all these songs had the word dream in them.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that was definitely not a coincidence. I've been dreaming a lot lately, haven't I? But I have my main target when I try to write every song that I write is always to, I call it positive vibes, like just maintain.
Oh, about the posi.
That is my genre. Positive vibes is my genre. And I want to spread a message of peace and tell my story and tell stories of others that have been through worse things than I have been. And yes, I focus on other things in that album too, but that was that's my main goal for my music. And I'm a Christian. I share my faith and my beliefs through my songs too, in some of the songs, you know. So I will sing about everything I believe in and put it out there. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Abraham, would you play a song for us?
Yeah. Got your guitar here.
If you don't mind. Do you know what song you would like to play?
I'm not sure. I'm the worst guitarist in the world.
No, I'm the worst guitarist in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play a song. This is the last song on the album, and I'm gonna play it just because I think many people may not have gotten to the 21st song. Maybe if you got bored on the way and didn't listen to 21, hear this. It's called "Be Yourself."
When I was a little boy, my mama told me this world is a cycle. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Boy, don't you go doing people wrong. Don't you go looking for trouble. No, 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 no. Because what goes around comes back around. And whatever goes up must come down, down, down. And all that we do under the sun, we will pay for it before our time is done, done, done. So be quick to forgive, be quick to apologize. Before you speak, stop and think twice. Because the words of your mouth could mean death or life. And keep your feet to the ground. Don't you be proud and don't live a lie. Always be yourself, yeah. Be quick to forgive, be quick to apologize. Before you speak, stop and think twice. Because the words of your mouth could mean death or life. And keep your feet to the ground. Don't you be proud and don't live a lie. Always be yourself. When I was a little boy, my daddy told me the truth will set you free. Yeah, yeah. Boy, don't you go telling people lies. Don't you mess with your integrity. No, no, no. And life is simple. Don't you complicate. And good things come to those who wait. And patience is a virtue. Don't begin to rush. And if anybody hurts you, don't you hold a grudge, John. Be quick to forgive, be quick to apologize. Before you speak, stop and think twice. Because the words of your mouth could mean death or life. And keep your feet to the ground. Don't you be proud and don't live a lie. Always be yourself, yeah. Always be yourself, yeah. Be quick to forgive, be quick to apologize. Before you speak, stop and think twice. Because the words of your mouth could mean death or life. And keep your feet to the ground. Don't you be proud and don't live a lie. Always be yourself.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Abraham. That was great.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love your lyrics.
Thank you.
When did you start studying English, Abraham?
So English is taught in Nairobi schools. Mm-hmm. I learned all my curriculum in English, but it's kind of like how in America people go to school and learn Spanish, but once they leave the class, they don't really speak Spanish. They just go back to the normal lives. So I went to school and I learned English, but I just never spoke it because I was embarrassed. If you speak English, people be like, what are you trying to show us? You speak English? Yeah. You're just being a show off. Why are you speaking English? Wait, what? So
Abraham, how many languages do you speak?
I speak Swahili, Lingalas, I hear French, all of it, speak a little bit of it, and English. Mm-hmm. Just that. And hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo estás? That's the only words I know in Spanish.
That's pretty good, though.
How about El Pozo?
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
It's 95.7.
It's our all Spanish station. In case you want to brush up on your Spanish.
Wow.
Easy resource. Well, that's awesome, Abraham. And can you tell us, what is that song? What influenced you to write that song?
What influenced me to write that song? I went out last night. I don't normally go out because it's just not me. Mm-hmm. I think it's an awesome thing for people that do it, but I am terrible at it, man. But sometimes I do. So I went, and then I was really weird. I went out with a couple of friends, and I was really weird because I was like, I'm not really feeling this place. I was I didn't know what to do. I had just moved here, and I didn't know what to do. Should I be talking too much or just quiet or so. I had a hard time being myself, and it was miserable. So I would say some things because I felt like, oh, maybe they're going to think this is cool. So I said it and embarrassed myself. So I went home. I went home just feeling miserable. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that was the worst. That was miserable. Those friends still talk to me graciously, but that's awesome. So that night, I just started thinking about everything that my parents taught me. And just be yourself just kept ringing in my mind and ringing in my mind. So I just decided to write everything they ever taught me as a song. It was just basically straight. My mom always tells me just be quick to forgive, be quick to apologize, all that stuff. It's cheesy stuff, but she tells me that a lot. No. So I just put it in a song.
Yeah, I think she's right. Yeah. I mean, nobody else can do it like you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you have any other things that friends or family may have influenced your lyrics or your songwriting in any way? Something you've heard over and over growing up that you've incorporated into your music?
Basically, mostly my parents. My parents have definitely influenced the direction that I go with my songs. My dad was a preacher, so he could never allow me to sing other things. You know what I mean by other things. So I stuck with gospel music, and just if I wanted to get out of that and talk about other stuff, I thought about what my parents would listen to. So I tried to write songs that I can play for them and they don't get mad at me. Like, what were you trying to say? You know, what was that? I did not teach you that. What was that word? Why are you singing? What? You know? So yeah. So they 100% influence what kind of song I write. Cause I just want them to listen to my songs. Friends that influence my songs. I've heard a few friends, I don't know if they've influenced my song so much more than me wanting them to enjoy when I come out with a song.
Yeah.
Would they influence the music maybe a little bit more? You want to be contemporary with your melodies? And
maybe
your
the
beats?
Style. Yeah. Maybe the style. I grew up listening to pretty much everything. So if you listen to my album, it's a representation of the whole package. I realized that before 2017, 2016, some people knew me as the Cold World singer, like this, the slow songs.
Yeah.
And some people knew me as the rapper because I would go to other places and just bust the rhyme, you know? So I wanted to bring it all together in one album and just present myself on my first album as I do all these things. And I just fuse it with Afro pop and call it Positive Vibes, you know? So I didn't want some people to just know me as the guy that sings at church some worship music, and other people know me as a rapper, and other people know me as the Afropop singer. So I blended it all together.
Many universes combining.
Yeah, I just combined it all together.
Well, you know, I think it's great because I think in our conversation, we realized that when you initially got here, you felt a little, you know, insecure in that initial anxiety of, should I really be doing this? Am I as good as I thought I really was? And then then you gain that confidence. And it's great because on your album, you featured so many other local musicians that it seems like you know, passed that and enabled them and gave them that confidence to be on an album at least.
I tried.
So can you talk about some of those folks who are on this album? And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Abraham Mwenda here on Bluegrass Bios about his new album, Dreamer.
One thing that really stood out for me last year was community, the importance of it, and just the whole essence of community. It's like it just brightened my whole life just having community, you know. Mm-hmm. Not just all community so we can get things out of them. If you want to do events, they all come because you know they are my community now. But just like coexisting together with people, that's what life is about.
True.
So I wanted this album to feel like a community too. So I've made so many friends along the way that do music, and I think they're really, really talented. And I was honored that most of them accepted to be on my album. And for some of them, it was their first recorded song. So that made me feel really awesome. Mm-hmm. My boy Marlon has never recorded a song. He is one of the most talented people I've ever met, lyricist. So I was really glad that I was able to have Marlon on that. I have Jessica McKinney on number, the song Revolution. She's a worship leader at Southern, and she's just amazing and a humble person and just an amazing person all around, but her voice is golden. So just to get that out there was a real pleasure for me. I have my friend DeMarco, Eileen, and Ryan on Waves. And man, these guys, I'm straight up going to say this. DeMarco is Lexington's or Kentucky's best musician. Straight. I would bet my money on that. Like, his voice is angelic. It's golden. He sings and he's just, if I walk in a room and sing without my instrument, nobody's going to keep quiet. Just go, that guy's singing for himself. But if DeMarco walks in a room and be like, yeah, we all keep quiet and we got to listen. This guy is singing, you know? So it was a real pleasure to have him and Eileen on Waves. And I have my friend Hekima, who I think is really talented and is a talented guitarist. But it was just great to just bring that out, to bring the other side of him that can sing on the album too. Who has that? I have my boy John Clemente. His style is completely different. That's the best word I can find for it. And he's on the song Common Ground. I wrote Common Ground with him, actually. We wrote it at Common Ground. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to call it Common Ground and have that word somewhere in the song. Mirage, Carrie Lauren is one of my very longest friends as far as music. She's the first person I ever went to when I moved here. And I was like, so do you know where there's a studio here? Where do people record? You know, I'm trying to record my songs, but I don't know where to go. So it was a joy to just have her on her album, on this album. And she's working on her own album too right now, which is incredible. Zach Hetman and I did a tour last year, and he's an amazing lyricist. And but anyway, I just wanted to have all my friends on this project now because I believe so much in their talent, and I really just wanted people to also get to hear them. Anyone that listened to the album, get to hear the voices too, and be like, I might actually check out more songs from this guy. Oh, that DeMarco guy sounded really good. I'll go check out his songs. So that's what I was trying to do, and just build community with that. So not to forget Sam, she's a beatboxer. She's the best female beatboxer I've ever met. I met her at church. And she was just beatboxing, and I was like, "Do you want to be on my album?" So
She dropped a beat on that one.
She did on the introduction. She did the beatbox, and I did the rapping. So it was just perfect. It was great. So most of these people, I was just like, I would see somebody sing somewhere. I'm like, "Man, you really sound good. Would you like to do a song with me on the album?" And the last song that we recorded was with Re-Education Camp, which is a duo of a bass guitarist and a rapper, John Gore and Zach Messick. And John Gore, the verse that he wrote for the song Voice for the Voiceless is hands down my favorite one of my favorite verses in this entire album. He was talking about, he talks about the Syrian issues, he talks about the homelessness issues, he talks about all these things. Can I read it?
Yeah, yes, yeah, please.
If I can find it.
Sure.
Yes, so this is the second verse of the song Voice for the Voiceless by myself and Re-Education Camp. And this verse was written by John Gore. Shout out to John Gore. It says, devil got us delirious, putting the fear in us. They say, send the huddle masses unless it's Syrians. Don't appear to us, they're looking weird to us. So we can't be too serious about bringing them near to us. Got me furious, I'm curious, was the love in your soul? That listens to girls bought and sold at Super Bowls. The heartbreak of the homeless when they're out in the cold. Cries of unwanted, disposed. The youngest, the old, fight for the right to life, not just after your first breath, but life from God's light to last breath at your death. For the young mama, lost her man, got none left except 4 kids, a mortgage, and a hole in her chest. For the lonely depressed who will never feel blessed, the addicted and oppressed who don't have any rest, we're unified for those alive and most high above. Walk the walk with BLM, Standing Rock, One Love.
That's great.
You got Standing Rock in there too. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. It's a lot of spots, you know, the world's real stir crazy right now. And I think that particularly hits a lot of points. And I do think that overcoming that anxiety, overcoming that fear with love and compassion, it sounds like you're doing it through your music and just through your life every day and the people that, you know, the positive influence you have on them. And, you know, that's what we all should strive to do. And that's what I personally strive to do. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
No problem. So can we listen to that song?
Yeah.
Do you mind playing that for us?
This is Voice for the Voices, produced by Zach Messick. Shout out.
Great. And while you're getting that up, can you tell people where can they go to find out about your music, Abraham?
You can find my album on iTunes. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. It's everywhere. You can purchase it there. You can download for free on noisetrade.com. You can buy it for however much you want on Bandcamp. So it's available.
Oh, the pay what you want on Bandcamp.
Pay what you want on Bandcamp.
And what's your Bandcamp site? Is it?
It's AbrahamWinder.com. abraham.bandcamp.com.
And can you spell that for
yeah,
everyone?
Yeah.
abraham.band.
CEMP.
Oh, they're on their own for band and camp. Yeah.
So it's everywhere. If you want to pay $1,000 for it, go on Bandcamp. You know, if you just want to listen and not download Spotify. You know, if you want to buy it just for normal price, iTunes.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's listen to it. Thank you very much, Abraham.
Thank you.
And we'll be back a little bit to say our farewells.
But... Yeah.
Enough with the words spoken every day, but we don't mean them no way. We don't mean a word we say. Enough with the scripts written for us to play, but it is all just a game. A game of let's pretend. The world is crying, the world is dying, and all we do is stand aside and look. Children are crying and mothers are dying in the world somewhere. Don't you think it's time that we stand up for them too? Cause we can be a voice for the voiceless. We can be a future for the hopeless. We can shine a light in the darkness. We can be love where there is hatred. You can be a voice for the voiceless. You can be a future for the hopeless. We can shine a light in the darkness. We can be love, but there is hatred.
Devil got us serious, putting the fear in us. I say it's under huddle masses, unless it's serious. Don't appear to be pierced, they're looking weird at us, and we can't be serious. If I'm bringing them near us, gonna be furious. I'm curious, where's the love in your soul? Dozens of girls bought and sold at Super Bowls, and the heartbreak of the homeless and the out in the cold. Cries of home, wide and disposed, youngest and old. Fight for the right to life, not just up to your first breath, but life for God's light to last breath. Your death, and for the young mom, lost a man, got none left except four kids, a mortgage and a hole in the chest. And for the lonely, depressed, who will never feel blessed, the addicted and oppressed, to go get it and rest. Unified for those alive or most high above. What the fuck would be a limb, stand and rock for love.
You can be a voice for the voiceless. You can be a future for the hopeless. We can shine a light in the darkness. You can be love where there is hatred. You can be a voice for the voiceless. We can be a future for the hopeless. We can shine a light in the darkness. We can be love where there is hatred.
Hey everybody, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU, Lexington Community Radio, and I'm Chuck.
I'm Ben.
Abraham.
And we're in the studio with Mr. Abraham Mwenda, talking about his new album, Dreamer. Thank you so much for coming in, Abraham. We really appreciated it.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Talking about the importance of compassion and love and music and making us and the world a better place and better people. So thank you so much for that. And do you have any shows coming up?
I do not have any shows coming up, but I'm working on it, and I'm working on about different projects actually.
So, cool. So if people want to stay up to speed about your music and maybe see where you're playing next, where can people go to get that info?
Yeah, find me on Facebook, Abraham Mwenda Music, and follow me on Instagram at Mwendagram.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And I have a website which you can subscribe to get mails from me.
Yes, perfect.
AbrahamWindaMusic.com. And just subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe. Yeah. So, Abraham, as we wrap the show up, is there anything that we didn't talk about or anything that you want to tell the people about your music or just anything in general?
I just want to say for the people of Lexington and far and wide, mm-hmm. Support local artists. We need your support. They need your support. Really, really, it goes a long way, you know, to just not necessarily, but just buying the music. Show up for events, you know. Encourage your artists. If you know artists out there, encourage them and just let them know what a good job they're doing. I think it's going to go a long way. And also spread kindness out there. Be kind to one another, you know. that spread some positive vibes and bless my album completely in your cars.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Abraham. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Aging Adventures is up next with Lydia Jacobs, and this show will be rebroadcast on Saturday at 11 a.m.
And we're on iTunes as well. You search the podcast section of iTunes, Bluegrass Bios, and you can go to lexingtoncommunityradio.org, the podcast section for Bluegrass Bios, and you can listen to every show we've ever done.
So we're out there. We're out there. Yeah. But nonetheless, thanks for listening to us. We'll be back next week. And until then, peace and blessings.
You are listening to 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington Community Radio.